go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are visiting with Claire Lopez. I'm very pleased to say we've had an opportunity for an extended conversation with her. There's always a lot to talk about and often too little time. So, Claire, thank you for generously giving of your time. We've got so much more that could be said about that business with Iraq's bomb maker and the problems with the Port Canaveral facility. But I do want to press you to talk a little bit about Iran as well. We have had, I think since our last visit, a decision by President Trump with respect to the nuclear deal with the Iranians that was fashioned by President Obama. Give us a sense of how this is working out, Claire, particularly at the strategic level, what Iran is up to and whether we're likely to see much worse to come.
As you mentioned there, Frank, a couple of weeks ago, President Trump finally did decline to recertify the Iran deal, the JCPOA, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which means that he is saying it cannot be verified, the deal cannot be verified, that the Iranians are abiding by each of its provisions. This goes along with what the IAEA, that is the International Atomic Energy Agency, has declared as well, that it is unable to certify that Iran is in compliance with the JCPOA either. And so that does not mean that the United States has literally pulled out of the deal. Although the president has the authority to do that, he did not take that step, at least yet, but rather sort of tossed the ball back into Congress's court, giving Congress 60 days to come up with, I guess, improvements to the nuclear deal. So there it sits at the moment. In the meantime, things do not sit or stand still for Iran and in the Middle East. But rather, a flurry of pronouncements has come out of the Iranian leadership declaring that it will keep on producing ballistic missiles. Well, neither here nor there. That's not in the JCPOA. But also moving on the ground militarily across the region of what used to be called Iraq and Syria, taking ground as the Islamic State is pushed out and pushed back.
With our help, to be sure, and this is a fine point that I think is lost on many of us, Claire Lopez, but you understand very, very well the role being played these days by Iran in Iraq. Talk, if you would, about how this rolling up of the Islamic State has been taking place. Whose boots are on the ground, in short, I guess, in this effort to liberate first Mosul and now Raqqa and otherwise defeat the Islamic State? And who's providing air support for them?
So there are two major battle fronts, if you will, one the former Iraq, one the former Syria, going on in the fight to defeat the Islamic State. And indeed, it has lost a great deal of the territory it used to hold. In the former Iraq, it is the Baghdad regime, which many would consider to be a proxy or a puppet of the mullah's regime in Tehran. It is Baghdad that has taken the lead in fighting against the Islamic State, but with the strong support, not so much of Iranian forces per se, but rather of its proxy militias, Shiite militias that go by the name of Hashd-e-Shaabi, or sometimes also called paramilitary, popular mobilization units, or PMUs. And these units are Shiites, not just Iraqi, but also recruits that the Iranians brought in from places as far as Afghanistan and Pakistan to fight. So it is these units pushing back the Islamic State for the most part together with the Iraqi army inside of the former Iraq, and all of that mostly under the command of Iran's Quds Force commander, Major General Qasem Soleimani.
Who's a very bad actor indeed. To what extent has the Peshmerga, the Kurdish military sort of organization, been a player in Iraq, as well as in the campaign against Syrian-based Islamic State, I should say?
Well, the Kurds have formed many years since, and with United States and Western support and protection, an area called the Kurdish Regional Government, or Kurdistan, up in the northern part of what used to be called Iraq. And it has been largely an oasis, separated for all of these years from what is the chaos going on in the rest of the area until now recently, with the advance of the Islamic State and the Kurdish Peshmerga, in particular the Kurds belonging to Masoud Barzani's KDP, Kurdish Democratic Forces. They did the brunt of the fighting, while also the rival Kurds, and this is part of the problem, they are not united. They're terribly factionalized among themselves. Jalal Talabani's PUK, or Patriotic Union of Kurdistan Forces, Jalal Talabani, of course, just died about 1 month ago. They took the brunt, the overall Kurds took the brunt of a lot of the fighting that pushed back the Islamic State. But as I said, now moving in its place, as it recedes, are Shiites. They are even being transplanted, if you will, in a population exchange to put Shiites into areas that formerly were Sunni Arab. This is a problem that's not going away.
A version, I guess it's not ethnic cleansing so much as sectarian cleansing, but very much inimical to the kind of populations that were previously components of Iraq. And this is why you keep referring to it as the place formerly known as Iraq. We are also watching those same popular mobilization units now being put into areas that have been under the control of the Peshmerga and the Kurds. Claire Lopez, this is, to my way of thinking, been a very black day for the United States and others who have recognized in the past, at least, that the Kurds are natural allies of ours, or at least friends, and we have abandoned them. Tell us a little bit about the implications of that for the region, Claire Lopez, and for our interests there, including the protection of Christians, quite a number of whom had found refuge in that safe haven.
Yeah, I really have to agree that it was a black day just about a week ago. That would be towards the end of October 2017 here, that the Shiite forces and Iraqi forces under command, really, of Qasem Soleimani, Quds force again, moved on Kirkuk. Kirkuk is the heartland of the Kurdish people. It is the center of a very rich oil-producing region as well. The city lies just outside of the territory or boundaries of the Kurdish Democratic Region, but nevertheless, the forces moved on it about a week ago. The United States stood back. We have been helping and backing and defending and arming and training the Kurds for decades, beginning against Saddam Hussein. And we abandoned them when they were in their worst peril. Qasem Soleimani apparently conducted some sort of behind-the-scenes treachery, as I said, between these factionalized groups of Kurds, talking with the PUK, Talabani's people, to stand down and let his forces advance into Kirkuk, while the forces of Masoud Barzani, the KDP, did fight. Some of them fought hard but ran out of ammunition and had to fall back. Kirkuk fell. Kirkuk fell. And we allowed that to happen to the forces of Baghdad and the Shiite militias.
Yeah, and their Iranian sponsors, needless to say. Claire Lopez, we have to leave it at that, I'm sorry to say, for the moment, but I know we will be following it closely at the Center for Security Policy with your extraordinarily able help. And we'll look forward to further updates from you as this progresses. But in the meantime, I think it's fair to say the Iranians are emboldened by all that has been transpiring. And there will be more of these threats, nuclear and otherwise, coming from that quarter. That's it for today. Thank you, Claire. Come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.